Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio. We come to you every week, every Wednesday Well, we have different shows on Wednesday, but this is the 3 o'clock Central Standard Time show coming to you live from the Tough Talk Radio Network here in Katy, Texas, which is about 18 miles west of the city of Houston. Super excited today, as I am every week, and I can't explain to you what doing this show does for me. But if you're someone that goes to church on Sunday and you go back to church again the following Sunday and you think about how you weren't plugged in all week long, maybe you should start doing a Christian radio show in the middle of the week, because it just fires me up to be able to be back on the path to hear what people are doing as they do work through the Lord. So I'm excited today, as I always am. I want to talk about my special guest, that she's going to be talking about breaking the chains of debt. And well, if you're in the U.S., you know what debt is. We're surrounded by it, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of what I've been going through in my world with debt. And you know, as blessed as I am with a lot of things, there's always opportunity for us to improve, for myself as well. So I think today's show is going to help a lot of people out, especially coming into the holiday season, where we all, as Americans, think it's the best thing to do is to spend every dollar we have on packages that fit under a tree. That might be a different show, but this is going to be helpful for you. So I just want to tell you a little bit of something before we do the housekeeping of the show about what's going on in my world. You know, people know that have been listening. We have a family-owned remodeling business here in the Houston area, and we have been blessed with so much work. And one of the things that happens every year between the month of November and December is our business almost comes to a standstill. And why is that? Well, no one wants us in their house while they're, getting ready for the holidays or getting their decorations up or planning to have their in-laws over to their house. So we kind of slow down. So that means that we have to prepare all year long so that we can cover ourselves through the month of November and December. And then we start out strong again in January. And I like to dig a little bit deeper than that. And, you know, when I, in 2012 to 2015, I got sick. And, you know, we had to use a lot of that reserved money that we had put away to cover us through our medical bills and my health and just a lot of different things. And so as people out there listening, you know that life has a way of creating opportunities for us to, well, not fail, but not stay on top of things like we would like to. And, you know, there's that way where we can blame everybody else out there for different things that happen. And, you know, I'm not here to argue with you about your excuse, because I have my own and they sound very good. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, if you're in debt because of things that have taken place in your life, for whether or not you were properly prepared or not, whether you're trying to prepare or not, there's always ways out there to get a lending hand. And today's show, my guest Karen Ford is going to be talking about how she helps people do that. Okay, now we all have heard of Dave Ramsey. He's got, there's 1,000 books out there on how to do these different things. One of the things I think you're going to like about Karen Ford is she has written a few books as well, but she has, well, she has lived the experience. And for those of you out there that found the Lord in a way that was maybe you weren't looking for him, but you came into it and it was an opportunity for you to see a second chance in your life. That's what happened to me. In 2010, I was looking for anything that would help me out through my health issues and my financial situation and my life at that time. And I found the Lord, and I found freedom. Now, 2010, fast forward to 2018, that doesn't last every day, every minute, every hour, every week, every month, every year. You have to keep feeding yourself that stuff to stay on top of it. And in today's show, we're going to find out about how Karen Ford can help you feed yourself opportunity to get your debt in a better place. Now, there's millions and millions of people that struggle with debt. Christians, non-Christians. I mean, it doesn't matter what you believe in. What matters is the debt you're in and how you can get out of it. So I'm going to stop at that point there, and we're going to bring Karen up here in a minute or so, and we're going to have her walk us through some of the things that we can start doing to get ourselves in a better frame of mind, in a better frame of budget, in a better frame of life. And this is stuff, folks, that is really important. Okay? It's just we have to educate ourselves, and this is going to be a good opportunity for you to do that. Another thing I want to bring up today is if anyone has a television or Google or a computer or a telephone, they know that they're doing the memorial for George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, number 41, right? Now, he is in Texas area here, but they're doing a big memorial in D.C., and my hat goes off to the family. My prayers are with them. I don't know if you could set a better example of the word of ethics and when you see a man like that there, the way he taught his family, everything that you're hearing about him. I hope that I would have the opportunity to be half that good. So really, really sorry for their loss. I'm very happy that he's able to be with his wife now in heaven. And I just hope that everyone takes a second out today and be thankful for the men like that, that are in politics, because not everybody out there has that mindset. And as our world moves forward, well, it seems like the enemy plays in a lot more areas than it used to. So prayers for the Bush family. Now, housekeeping is real quick. I want to just tell you, if you want to call into the show, it's 347-989-1363. Let me say it again. 347-989-1363. Press 1 if you want to ask a question. The switchboard will get you up on the show. If you just want to listen by your phone, plug it into your car as you're driving down the highway, another opportunity. Find us on Facebook under Tony Gambone, Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can connect with Karen Ford as well on Facebook. We'll give you her website here in a minute as well. So, folks, super excited, as I mentioned. I want to tell you about Karen. She's a master financial coach, public speaker, and an entrepreneur who has coached people with a variety of money issues, from just $500 in debt to $800,000 in debt. She has coached folks with up to 86 credit cards, and holy cow, I feel better about myself already, and taught them how to pay them down, pay those off, and in record time. So without wasting any more time, I want to welcome Karen Ford to the show. Karen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony, for having me on here. I so appreciate it.
Now, Karen, I do this with every guest. I want to find out where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
Oh, certainly. I'm calling in from Fairmont, West Virginia, and this is where I'm from originally. I was born here and raised here. So West Virginia is beautiful, beautiful mountains.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I grew up a little bit on the other side of the mountain in Pennsylvania area, but I've been in Houston now for 21 years. So anyway, we had a conversation right before the show, and a previous guest of mine, John Polis, is your pastor. And it's crazy how God works. We don't always get these opportunities to have a guest on, and then a couple weeks later have another guest that's from that same church. Okay, so really excited about that. And, you know, Pastor John's story was incredible. There's a Vietnam veteran there that went through some struggles. And well, what he's doing today with people is just, well, that's just God's work. So, Karen, I want to ask you, you're a master financial coach. Okay, and I want to find out, is this something you went to college for? Is this something that you learned along the way? Tell us how you got that title.
Oh, certainly. I've always been good with money, and I didn't really know it, to be honest with you. I didn't think of myself as having, you know, the skill set of dealing with money, but I had the opportunity to go to a training several years ago and receive some training in the financial arena and actually continue my training and learning, because money is a subject that we can always learn about, various investments and things like that. And I've always wanted to help people. I actually have a background in nursing. I was a registered nurse, haven't practiced as a nurse for several years. But as you know, nurses like to help people. So I'm still helping people, but in a different way. So what brings me joy is watching people apply the principles of demolishing debt and building wealth, and it actually puts such a great win under their belt when they're doing it, and experience that freedom. You know, sometimes when people come to me for coaching, they're just so very down and depressed and feel beaten, you know, and it's sometimes there's shame involved there, because maybe they've gotten into credit card debt or got in over their heads. And I try to really identify with them, because I haven't always been the best at money myself. Many, many years ago, I actually am almost ashamed to say this, but I'm free from shame. But when I was in my 20s, I was very immature and actually thought, well, you know, even though I don't have the money in the bank, I'm going to write checks anyway. And so I had bounced checks all over the place, and my dad had to get me out of that predicament. And so I'm so grateful for him. And, of course, my Heavenly Father has gotten me well out of great situations financially. And so I'm honored and privileged to help people manage their money in a greater way, budget better, get out of debt, and build wealth. So I just love every aspect of it.
So, you know, Karen, in today's world, I would say, now I just explain, I'm 62 years old, so I've spent a few weeks on Earth here, right? And I've seen a lot of changes. And, you know, as we watch the news and we watch TV, things are just way different now. Kind of out of control, I guess, if you're my age. If you're in your 20s, you're probably thinking this is just awesome. But as we go through life, it's so easy to get off track. And when they developed this, you know, I remember when the first debit card was available. But plastic is taught to children, you know, in going into college, they're able to get credit cards. And it's almost like they're set up to fail. So
right.
What I'd like to talk about today a little bit is college students and how parents, you know, okay, so a lot of times they don't prepare properly because Johnny or Janie is going to go to college, and they never thought that there would be that big of a opportunity for them to go to that kind of a college, and just the cost, and it's overwhelming, and then there's a credit card, and they try to get more in debt to make it all kind of work. Is there a solution for stuff like that?
Well, sure. You know, one thing is, of course, you know, kids going into college, I think that's great that they're wanting to attain a greater education. That certainly is a wonderful thing. One thing to consider, you know, is staying in state, first of all, going to a college or university in state, because it's so much more expensive when you go out of state for that same education that you can get in state. So that's the first thing. The second thing is if parents maybe haven't planned or prepared as well financially for their child to go to college, you know, there's no shame in that. It is what it is. But there's two things to consider here. When they do get to go to college, and hopefully nobody will get too upset with me, but there's actually been studies done, and I understand parents wanting their children to study in off times. In other words, they want them to go to class and then go back to the dorm or their apartment and study, and that's great. But studies have shown that if that student will work a part-time job while they're in college, they're actually an opportunity for them to have a higher GPA because they're not only earning money, but they're earning a higher GPA because they're learning how to organize their time better. Certainly, they'll still have socialization with their friends after class, but also socializing on the job. And this is a great thing for them to consider, is to work while they're in school. You know, there's all kinds of grants out there. There's potential scholarships out there. So parents, maybe if you haven't planned real well financially for your child to go to college, consider staying in state, and also consider having them work while they're in school. And of course, if they're not going to summer classes, they can work all summer long as well and save up some pennies and that kind of thing for their next semester.
So I love the idea of children earning their way. I mentioned that we have a family-owned business, and I have two sons that work in my business with us, and one of them has went to college for a couple of years, got an associate's degree, and the other one just didn't want nothing to do with it. I think in today's market, college isn't like it was when I was a kid. You know, my mom used to say to me that either you're going to work on the trash truck or you're going to go to college. You know, and if you didn't go to college, you didn't get a good job unless you work for the city or the state. And so in today's market, it's a lot different. There's just different opportunities. But most important, I think, that when we look around and we see parents giving a three-year-old a phone or a tablet to play with while they're doing things, it's kind of we kind of see how easy their life's going to be, because there's no structure in their family life with their parents teaching them a lot of different things. So getting a job might be at the bottom of the list, but if people are out there, they need to know that if your child doesn't earn their way through college, they're always going to be, what I try to tell my kids they're not allowed to do, move back home, because it's easier. So doing what you're saying, them getting a part-time job, will help in debt, first of all, but more importantly, it'll create a process where they know that if they don't work, they can't stay on top of it. So I think that's great advice. How old do you think your child should be when they start learning about finances? So, for instance, we always keep secrets from our kids about the finances because we say it's none of their business. And it might be because we're not proud of our situation. But how old do you think a child should be when their parents sit them down at the table and say, listen, let's talk about finances. Let's talk about responsibilities. You're going to make this much money a week, but you need to do these types of things during the week. Do you think that's something that people should still do?
Oh, absolutely. I say the younger that you can start, the better. To be honest with you, you know, one of my pet peeves is parents giving their children an allowance. And when I was wee little, I remember getting an allowance. And then I also remember I'm one of seven children. So I remember my mom and dad sending us around the table saying, hey, look, you know, we're not going to do allowances anymore. We are going to pay you to do certain chores, you know, but we're not going to give you an allowance. I mean, if we think about it, are we giving our children an allowance just because they're breathing? I mean, God love their little hearts, but we love them and we want the best for them. And certainly as a parent, we want our children to go farther than what we did. We want them to do better than what we did. We want that for our kids. But one thing that I want to caution is, how about paying a commission instead of an allowance? In other words, there may be things that your children are going to do in the home simply because they're a part of the Ford home or the Gambone home. You know, you're going to make your bed every day simply because you live in this house, or you're going to help with dishes every day, or whatever those chores are. But maybe there may be some tasks that, you know, you can potentially pay them to do, pay a commission. Maybe, you know, you can actually teach a three-year-old to how to fold washcloths. Is it going to be perfect? No, but they're learning at that age. You're attaching work with money, and that's powerful right there. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Well, the other verse attached to that is about not going into debt. So what we want to do is we want to start teaching our children about money as young as three. Do we want to get a spreadsheet for them? Certainly not. Do we want to teach them what a credit card paper looks like? No. I mean, a three-year-old, you know, children can only grasp so much. But if we can give them chores to do, look, if you fold these washcloths, you know, mommy's going to give you a quarter. Or, you know, a young man, you know, teenager, you know, you mow the grass, this is how much you're going to earn. And so it actually puts a win under their belt because they're doing something that's causing them to earn money for themselves. Plus, you're teaching them about money. And the other thing is you're not having to do everything in your own home. I mean, I know some parents, they come home from work after working 8, 10, 12 hours. They're doing the dishes. They're doing the laundry. They're cleaning their house. And their teenage kids are in their rooms watching TV and playing on their iPhone. Am I against watching TV? No. Am I against playing on an iPhone? No. But let's attach work with money, and that's what's really going to empower them and equip them for adulthood. You know, we don't have, I won't say the entire generation, but there is a part of a generation today that many times have an entitlement mentality. And I like getting things. You know, when people give me things, I so appreciate it, but I don't ever feel like, or I shouldn't ever feel like I'm entitled to something just because, you know, I'm Karen. Does that make sense? I mean,
absolutely. No, absolutely.
I think that's a dangerous area to walk on there is having that entitlement mentality. You know, because I exist, I deserve everything to be handed to me, you know.
I couldn't agree with you more, and the older I get, I think I sound more like my father about the next generation coming up. But at the end of the day, the people responsible for that are the people of the generation of their parents. And I think that it's important that we don't try to bail Johnny and Janie out every time they get into a fix. Now, I don't believe in kicking them out of the house, but at the same time, you need to let them hit the ground once. You can help them up, but they're not going to know how to be better unless, you know, they have a chance to do wrong. And it's like a business.
Right.
People that say that they make no mistakes in their business don't really have a business and aren't really telling the truth. You can't learn unless you make mistakes. And if a child of three can play on an iPad, they could surely learn how to put quarters in a piggy bank. And know the excitement of it. So I'm right on the same page with you there. I want to jump ahead because, Karen, time goes fast on these shows, and you've written a few books.
Oh, it sure does.
Yes, sir. The book Money Nuggets, Beg, Borrow, or Budget, Control Your Money, and Change Your Life. Okay, this is your latest book, is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
So I want to make sure that everyone knows if they go to Karen Ford, I'm going to spell it out, KarenFord.org, not .com, .org, and check out the website so you'll be able to connect with her. You'll be able to invite her to come and speak at your church, in your community. And you can just hire her to work one-on-one with you. But the books, make sure to get the books. I think it's really important if people have written a book that you test it out and see what it's about so you'll know the value of contacting Karen. But Karen, tell us, you've written 31 Days to Greater Understanding of Money, Money Matters. What got you writing these books, and what's this latest book about?
Well, what got me writing these books, to be honest with you, Tony, I never really had a desire to write a book because I never considered myself literary. I like reading books, but I never had a desire to write a book. And we had a speaker in our church a few years ago, and he pointed at me, and there was a word of prophecy, and he said, "Karen, you have a book inside of you." And I just about shuddered because I thought, oh, no. And so I finally said, "Okay, Lord, I'll write it." And I thought, what can I do? I know it's going to be on money. And so the first book I wrote was 31 Days. That's a 31-day devotional on money. So each daily devotion talks about money and wraps our brain around it and helps us to have a greater understanding. Money Matters is actually a pretty meaty book. It actually gives the keys and the principles to debt demolition, building wealth, investing, the 10% factor where I talk about tithing. And then Money Nuggets are various quotes from people, from the Word of God and myself to change the way we think about money and change our way about thinking about money, because sometimes I think in the body of Christ, people have had the mindset, well, it's more humble to be poor. Well, Jesus was pretty humble, but he had money while he was here on this earth because he had a treasurer. And you don't really need a treasurer to hold on to two pennies in a money bag, you know. So it talks a lot about our mindset on money to help us understand what is God's perspective on money. What does he think about it? Is he okay with us having it?
I think he's very okay with having it. I think where the problem might lie is what we do with it. Or what we put, if we put it before him, or, you know, and anyone that reads the Bible could understand those definitions of what not to do with money. I like the fact that, and I want to tell people again, Karen, Karen Ford, FORD.org/books. And I'm going to just say, if you buy the book and don't like it, I want you to email me info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and I'll buy the book back off you, because this is stuff that really makes a difference. Money Matters explains, you know, what God wants you to do with it. And the 31 Days to a Greater Understanding of Money is about the biblical principles. But the book Money Nuggets, this is just a book that's going to motivate you to think differently about your money and encourage you to start building wealth right away. Because what do you have later on in life? Okay, I know that the mailman might go away one day, but the bills will still get to your house in a different way. So you're still going to need money, and you're going to need to be smart with it. So get these books. Don't like it, email me, and I'll buy the book back off of you. Karen, tell me, what's the next book?
The next book is entitled Do It Now, Overcoming Procrastination. Yes.
I like that.
And that actually can entail in every area of our lives, but it can actually be costly when it comes to money as well. So that's the fourth book, but I've got number 4, 5, 6 on the cooker right now. So number 5 and 6 will be on money as well.
So, you know, the name of my show is Tough Talk Christian Radio. And what I like to do, and this just came to me. So if you listen to all my previous shows, you'll never have heard this one. You'll always hear me ask someone to give advice. But I want to take a second and I want to give some tough talk from you to the listeners out there. I mean, you are a financial coach, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that happen in experiences that you've come across where you probably have shaken your head, scratched your head, want to poke your eyes out the way people think and do different things. I mean, it's just there. I don't care. You can't deny it. But I would love if you could give some tough talk to the people out there about how they can start today, and then just a couple of steps, what they can do to make a change. And you know, nothing happens overnight, but things do happen immediately. Okay, and you use the word procrastinate. So I know that that's where this must be coming from your experiences. So can you give them a little bit of tough talk?
Certainly. If we don't have a savings account or an emergency fund, get, you know, a couple of $1,000 in an emergency fund right away. And one great way to do that is to go in your garage, your attic, your basement, and go through things that you have not used in at least a year. If you haven't used those things in at least a year, sell them. Now, some people will have the mindset, well, I might use it someday. Well, the someday hasn't happened in a year or longer, so get rid of it, sell it, and get that a couple thousand dollars in an emergency fund right away. Why? Because what if your car needs a repair? What if your hot water tank in your house blows up? What if your furnace goes out or your air conditioning? You're in Texas, and you're going to want to replace that or get it fixed. And if you don't have an emergency fund, you're going to end up having to use a credit card or go into debt to take care of those things. So that's the first thing. If you already have an emergency fund, God bless you. That is awesome. Now, if you have debt, the next thing to do is to start getting out of debt. One quick way to do that is make a list of your debts from smallest to largest. And as soon as you get rid of that smallest debt, whatever that payment was, now you apply that payment to the next debt. In other words, if you have a little credit card payment of $50 a month and you wipe that credit card out, but then your next credit card is, say, $100 a month, you're not going to take that $50 and go spend it because you don't have that credit card anymore. You're going to attach that $50 to the $100 payment on the next credit card, and you're going to demolish that and get that out of the way. And we just keep doing that with each and every debt. You know, I always want to give people hope, because no matter what financial situation you find yourself in, whether you've had health issues and you've got surmounting hospital bills, or maybe you've got credit cards, maybe you bought a car that was too expensive for you and you regret that, listen, there is always hope, because Jesus Christ is our hope today. So if we will say, God, you got to help me get out of debt. You got to help me. I don't want to live like this anymore. He's going to come right alongside of you and give you the grace and the mercy that we need at that particular moment. And he's going to grab our hand and he's going to walk us through it. Will we still have to do our part? Absolutely. And if we're wanting to get out of debt, then one way to get out of debt is don't go into more debt. In other words, if you really want to get out of debt, don't start spending money because you feel obligated to buy family or friends Christmas presents. Do what you can do as you can in your heart. And besides, Jesus is really the reason for this time anyway. I don't want to sound like that's a pat answer, but sometimes we can get so consumed with consumerism and buying gifts for various people. Listen, it's the thought that counts. It really, really does. And if you're giving from your heart, that gift matters, no matter how expensive or how inexpensive it is. So there's my tough talk.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, it's really, I'm serious. I want people to know that they can get in touch with you by going to KarenFord.org. And Karen, do you do one-on-one coaching with people?
Yes, sir. I do one-on-one coaching. I do financial seminars. Most of the time, if it's a married couple, I really want both husband and wife for the coaching. If they're wanting that. Certainly, there are circumstances where I can only coach one mate. Maybe the other mate is working out of state or something like that. But I coach one-on-one, face-to-face, over the phone, FaceTime. So it doesn't matter the distance. Coached people over the phone in California and Pennsylvania. So it doesn't have to be face-to-face. You're still going to get the same information.
And, you know, you mentioned about in the tough talk section of it about paying the smaller debts off first. Now, I've heard people say that you pay the big one off and then, you know, just go and go down the line and do the littler ones. Do you feel as though by paying the smaller ones, you're rewarded faster, it's easier, you don't have to quit in the middle because you just can't make ends meet? Do you find that's a better system that way for that reason?
Oh, you just said a mouthful, Tony. Absolutely. But, you know, when people are in debt and they want to get out of debt, they want to see a quick win. And so if they pay off that smallest debt first, they can mark it off that list, and that makes them feel so good. Hey, I already got one of them down. And now it builds momentum because now you've already got one debt out of the way, and that momentum continues to build as you get rid of each debt. If you start with the largest debt first, what I have found some people have done is they try to get rid of the largest one, and it's almost like they stall out. They start out really good, but they don't get that immediate win. So that's why we recommend to start with the smallest debt first so you can get that win under your belt and build that momentum.
Yeah, I kind of relate it to when you're putting that penny in that quarter in the piggy bank as a child, it's so exciting.
Yes.
You know, you have that childlike faith, right? And it's rewarding.
Yes.
And it's the same as staying in the Word. If you try to bite off a big piece of the Bible at one time, you're not going to be able to swallow it. You're going to spit out most of it. And if you take the same road on everything that has to do with life, just take the small steps first and see what turns out of it. Well, look what happened with you. They said that you need to write a book. You already have the 6th book planned out. You didn't think you were a writer. You thought you were just a reader. And I really believe from someone who can't spell properly and has done 4 books myself, God has put a testimony of something, of a book inside of every one of us. And we all need to get that message out. So I'm just excited that you have number six planned out already. I think that's awesome because that means that we're going to be able to get you back on the show for the 4th book, the 5th book, and the 6th book. So awesome stuff.
Oh,
awesome,
wow.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you. thank you so much, Tony.
Let me ask you, it says here that you have 3 children, boys, girls,
yep.
Both?
Girls, they're my husband's children. I claim them. They're daughters, yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Can I ask how old they are?
Yes, sir, you may. 44, 42, 32.
All right. So now,
yes.
So I'm asking this because I have been married more than once. And so there was, you know, I've helped raise other children. In that transformation going in there, you know, I always made the joke that I paid enough for my stepchildren to claim them with love and cash. But the thing of it is, do you find yourself teaching them exactly what you teach others?
They're adult children, so treading that water is a little bit lighter, you know. I mean, I'm more than willing to teach them, and so every now and then I'll drop little hints without coming right out and saying, hey, don't do that, or you should do this, or you should do that. I think Dr. John Polis said one time, unsolicited advice is considered criticism or not appreciated. So I try to remember that, even though, you know, sometimes they'll share with me what they're going to do, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. But I kind of keep that, and I'll, you know, I try to ask questions to get them thinking a little bit so that they'll make the right decision. But then I have to also remember, hey, they're adults, so you know, unless they specifically say, hey, Karen, what do you think about this? I watch how I word that or interject, if so to speak.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, and I'm going to tell you why I asked that question. We have
a lot
more adult children living at home nowadays than ever probably in before. So
yes, sir,
I wanted to find out if a parent insist on having their children live at home. Do you have a program, or maybe this is another book, on how to get Johnny out of the basement and into his own apartment type of thing? You know, at what point do you make a decision that your children have to get out there on their own and stop living under your finances?
That may or may not be a book, but depending on how old they are, you know, if they've gone to college or whether they've gone to college or not, let's say they haven't gone to college and they're 18 or 19, they should have a job. And then I would sit down and say, look, you know, what is your plan for moving out of the house? I love you. You're wonderful, but an adult. So what is your plan? And how much do you think it's going to cost for you to live on your own? And see how much information they come up with that's accurate. Because sometimes adult children that are still living at home don't have the accurate answers. Because they're living at home, maybe they're not being charged rent or charged anything. And I understand that. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to become parents that are enablers. Kids that come back home are called boomerang kids because they find out they can't make it. So I would sit down and say, you know, what's your plan for moving out? Now, certainly if they're in college, after college, I would hope that they would want to get a job, and whether they wanted to or not, they need to get a job and come up with a plan for moving out because now they're an adult. And as much as maybe some parents would love to have their adult children live with them, you know, for a long period of time, we are kind of will cause them to become stagnant. What do I mean by that? If adult children are living at home and they're not working or doing anything that real adults actually do, I heard this illustration one time that it's almost like you're sitting that adult child in a chair and you duct tape their legs to the chair and they're not permitted to move. And let's say a year or two goes by and you untie them and say, okay, get up and walk. They can't because their muscles have atrophied. So we prevent them from stepping out and discovering what they can do when we allow them to stay home, not work, not become true adults in the work world. We're preventing them to becoming everything that they could be and should be, you know. We raise our children so that they can become adults and do what they need to do. So if we raise our children to stay at home, live at home, and not do what they need to do, then they're going to become stagnant, and they're not really going to discover what they can do.
That's a great answer, because as we're getting near the end of the show here, Karen, this all ties into what you should be doing with your children at a young age. And it also shows that it's never too late, whatever age they're at, to be able to help them. And I agree, when you have adult children and they're out of the house, you have to stay on your side of the line as far as interfering, because now it's their world. And, you know, as it says in the book, they become one. And they need to separate from their parents. But it's never too late to be able to sit them down and explain it. And for parents like myself that didn't do it right from the beginning, it's never too late to have that conversation as long as you go about it the proper way. Karen, I can't thank you enough for being a guest on the show today. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. And I would just like for you to give everybody your contact information. And we know that they go to KarenFord.org. They can buy one of your books. Remember, people, if you just join in late, if you don't like the book, email me info@toughtalkradionetwork.com, and I'll buy the book back from you. Give me your information, please.
Certainly, it's KarenFord.org, or you can email me at KarenB1008@hotmail.com.
Once again, Karen, I feel blessed to have had this time with you on the show. I'm looking forward to going through and reading your books, and I hope that you will stay in touch with us and come back on the show and tell Dr. John Polish we were asking about him as well.
Certainly will, sir. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Okay, folks, we're going to wrap up the show. That was an incredible interview with Karen Ford. Make sure to go to KarenFord.org. Make sure to tune in every Wednesday at Tough Talk Christian Radio. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you have something that you could share that God's doing in your world or you're doing with others for God in this world, please go to TouchTalkChristianRadio.com.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit TouchTalkRadioNetwork.com for more information.